Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. My name is Avram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yuma Daf Ein Gimel. The end of the seventh parak, Bo'o Kohen Gadol, and the beginning of the eighth parak, Yom Kippurim. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on, number one, on Daf Ein Beis Amin Beis. The Gemara brought a statement from Avdim who said, "Begadim she Kohen Gadol meshamish behen, meshuch mochamim meshamish behen." The begadim in which the Kohen Gadol serves, the Kohen anointed for battle, also serves. Rashi explains that if the Meshuch Melchama comes to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, he will wear the eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol. For it stated in the Pasuk, "Ubigdei HaKodesh la'aron yulevan v'acharav," and the holy begadim that are aron shall be for his sons after him. "V'mishabah begdula acharav," this implies for the one who comes after him in greatness. Rashi explains that the word acharav, after him, is an extra word, and we therefore use it as a drasha to mean one who is second in importance. On our daf, a conflicting brisa is brought that states that the Meshuch Melchama does not wear the four begadim of an ordinary kohen, nor the eight begadim of a kohen gadol. Abaye answers that midraisa, the Meshuch Melchama should wear the eight begadim, but he doesn't wear them midrabbanan mishum eva, because of enmity. The rabbanan were concerned that the kohen gadol would harbor ill feelings towards another person that wears the same uniform. He also doesn't serve in the four begadim of a kohen hedyot mishum malim bekodesh v'lomaridin, because of the klal that in sacred matters we elevate and we do not lower. Later, the Gemara clarifies that the Kohen Gadol feels no enmity towards a Kohen Gadol equal in stature, such as a retired one. Point number two, the Gemara brings several teachings about the Urim V'Tumim. It was taught in a Braisa, Hashol panav klapei nishal, v'hanishal panav klapei shechina. The one consulting, such as the Melech, or the head of the Sanhedrin, faces the one being consulted, meaning the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol faces the shechina. Rashi explains that the Kohen tilts his head downward to face the Shema Meforesh that is in the Choshen, which was resting on his chest. One does not inquire in a loud voice, and does not inquire about two matters simultaneously. Rashi explains that he must wait until he receives a response to his first question before posing the second. Why are they called the Urim V'Tumim? Urim Shema'irin es Divrehen, Urim, from the word or, light, for they enlighten their words. Tumim Shema'shlim es Divrehen, Tumim, from the word tam, complete, for they fulfill the words, meaning their predictions always come true. Point number three, the opening mission of the eighth parak states, Yom Kippurim asur b'chil u'b'shtia. On Yom Kippur, one is prohibited to engage in eating and drinking. The Gemara asks how the Mishnah could use the word asur, which implies only a prohibition is involved, when we know that eating and drinking is punishable by karas. Rabbi Ila said, and some say it was Rabbi Yirmiyahu who said, the Mishnah statement is needed only in a case when someone ate or drank a half measure. The Gemara says that this explanation is only good according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds chetzi shir asur min haTorah, but not according to Reish Lakish, who holds chetzi shir mutar min haTorah. And it answers that Reish Lakish concedes that Chetzi Shir is Asim with the Rabbanan. Therefore, Reish Lakish interprets the Mishnah as prohibiting Chetzi Shir as a Rabbanan. So once again, the three points are, number one, on Daf Ein Beis Amin Beis, the Gemara brought a statement from Avdim who said, "Begadim she Kohen Gadol meshamish behen, meshuch mochamim meshamish behen." The begadim in which the Kohen Gadol serves, the Kohen anointed for battle also serves. Rashi explains that if the Meshuch Melchama comes to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, he will wear the eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol. For it stated in the Pasuk, "Ubigdei HaKodesh la'aron yulevan v'acharav," and the holy begadim that are aron shall be for his sons after him. "V'mishabah begdula acharav," this implies for the one who comes after him in greatness. Rashi explains that the word acharav, after him, is an extra word, and we therefore use it as a drasha to mean one who is second in importance. On our daf, a conflicting brisa is brought that states that the Meshuch Melchama does not wear the four begadim of an ordinary kohen, nor the eight begadim of a kohen gadol. Abaye answers that midraisa, the Meshuch Melchama should wear the eight begadim, but he doesn't wear them midrabbanan mishum eva, because of enmity. The rabbanan were concerned that the kohen gadol would harbor ill feelings towards another person that wears the same uniform. He also doesn't serve in the four begadim of a kohen hedyot mishum malim bekodesh v'lomaridin, because of the klal that in sacred matters we elevate and we do not lower. Later, the Gemara clarifies that the Kohen Gadol feels no enmity towards a Kohen Gadol equal in stature, such as a retired one. Point number two, the Gemara brings several teachings about the Urim V'Tumim. It was taught in a Braisa, Hashol panav klapei nishal, v'hanishal panav klapei shechina. The one consulting, such as the Melech, or the head of the Sanhedrin, faces the one being consulted, meaning the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol faces the shechina. Rashi explains that the Kohen tilts his head downward to face the Shema Meforesh that is in the Choshen, which was resting on his chest. One does not inquire in a loud voice, and does not inquire about two matters simultaneously. Rashi explains that he must wait until he receives a response to his first question before posing the second. Why are they called the Urim V'Tumim? Urim Shema'irin es Divrehen, Urim, from the word or, light, for they enlighten their words. Tumim Shema'shlim es Divrehen, Tumim, from the word tam, complete, for they fulfill the words, meaning their predictions always come true. Point number three, the opening mission of the eighth parak states, Yom Kippurim asur b'chil u'b'shtia. On Yom Kippur, one is prohibited to engage in eating and drinking. The Gemara asks how the Mishnah could use the word asur, which implies only a prohibition is involved, when we know that eating and drinking is punishable by karas. Rabbi Ila said, and some say it was Rabbi Yirmiyahu who said, the Mishnah statement is needed only in a case when someone ate or drank a half measure. The Gemara says that this explanation is only good according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds chetzi shir asur min haTorah, but not according to Reish Lakish, who holds chetzi shir mutar min haTorah. And it answers that Reish Lakish concedes that chetzi shir is asur min haRabbanan. Therefore, Reish Lakish interprets the Mishnah as prohibiting chetzi shir as a Rabbanan. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Ayin Gimel, and this one comes to us by way of Charlie Meyerson from Scottsdale, Arizona, who suggests that Ayin Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The Meshulch Melchama, who addressed the soldiers in his eight begadim before they went to the battlefield riddled with giant ostrich eggs, aroused the enmity of the Kohen Gadol wearing the Urim and Tumim, and who had prepared a meal for him that was only a chetzi shir. Once again, in slow motion. The Meshulch Melchama, who addressed the soldiers in his eight begadim before they went to the battlefield riddled with giant ostrich eggs, that must be on Daf Ayin Gimel. The Meshulch Melchama, who addressed the soldiers in his eight begadim before they went to the battlefield riddled with giant ostrich eggs, which reminds us that although midrash, the Meshulch Melchama does wear the eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol when he does the avodah in the base of Migdash, he doesn't wear them in the Rabban Mishuma Eva, and he doesn't wear the four begadim of the Kohen Hedyot because of Malim Mekodesh Ve'in Meridin. So the Meshulch Melchama, who addressed the soldiers in his eight begadim before they went to the battlefield riddled with giant ostrich eggs, aroused the enmity of the Kohen Gadol wearing the Urim Batumim, which reminds us the Gemara brings several teachings about the Urim Batumim. The one consulting faces the one being consulted, while the Kohen Gadol faces the Shechina, tilting his head downward to face the Choshen resting on his chest. One doesn't inquire in a loud voice and does not inquire about two matters simultaneously. So the Meshulch Melchama, who addressed the soldiers in his eight begadim before they went to the battlefield riddled with the giant ostrich eggs, aroused the enmity of the Kohen Gadol wearing the Urim Batumim, and who had prepared a meal for him that was only a chetzi shir. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks how the Mishnah could say that eating and drinking Yom Kippur is usur, which implies only a prohibition is involved, when we know that eating and drinking is punishable by Koras, and answers that it's needed only in a case when someone ate or drank a chetzi shir. When the Gemara says that this explanation is only good according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds chetzi shir asur min haTorah, but not according to Reish Lakish, who holds chetzi shir mutar min haTorah, it answers that Reish Lakish concedes that chetzi shir is usur in the Rabbanan. So once again, the Meshulch Melchama, who dressed the soldiers in his eight begadim before they went to the battlefield riddled with giant ostrich eggs, aroused the enmity of the Kohen Gadol wearing the Urim Batumim, and who had prepared a meal for him that was only a chetzi shir. All right, now it's time for four blot back Chazorah. Daf Samach Tes. So the Simur Samach Tes is soot, and we use a chimney sweep. So here goes. The leader of the chimney sweeps, that must mean we're on Daf Samach Tes, soot. The leader of the chimney sweeps bowed down to a priestly man in beautiful garments, which reminds us of Shimon and Tzedek's encounter with Alexander and how Alexander bowed down, saying he saw a likeness of Shimon and Tzedek on the battlefield that enabled him to be victorious. And although the din is that one should not wear big dikkun outside the base of Migdash, the Gemara relates that either they were garments that were fitting to be used as big dikkun, or that here he was permitted to wear big dikkun as it was an emergency, based on the pasuk, Eis lasos l'Hashem meferus orasecho. It's a time to act for Hashem, they have nullified your Torah. So the leader of the chimney sweeps bowed down to a priestly man in beautiful garments when he cast a fiery lion cub into a lead cauldron producing lots of soot, which reminds us of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah subduing the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zorah and the decision to only blind the Yetzer Hara for immorality in one eye, lest the world would become desolate, which resulted in the removal of the temptation for incestuous relationships. So the leader of the chimney sweeps bowed down to a priestly man in beautiful garments when he cast a fiery lion cub into a lead cauldron producing lots of soot. One assembly of great judges looking on proclaimed Hashem was powerful and awesome. Which reminds us that the Gemara explains the reason why the Anshei Knesset Gedolah were called by that name is that they restored Moshe Rabbeinu's praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Gibor and Nora that Yirmiyahu and Daniel had ceased to use, thereby magnifying Hashem's greatness. So once again, the leader of the chimney sweeps bowed down to a priestly man in beautiful garments when he cast a fiery lion cub into a lead cauldron producing lots of soot. One assembly of great judges looking on proclaimed Hashem was powerful and awesome. Fine, so the Simmer Daf Ayin is a one-eyed Martian. So here goes. The one-eyed Martians, that must mean we're on Daf Ayin. The one-eyed Martians listening to their high Martian, proudly doing a public reading by heart, which reminds us, the Gemara here asks why the Kohen Gadol reads the parchment Musafim by heart instead of rolling the Sefer to the proper place and reading inside. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Rav Yeshua said, in the name of Sheshes, because we don't roll a Sefer Torah in public out of consideration for the covenant of the Sefer and making them wait in silence until the Torah is rolled and then read. Two reasons are given as to why a second Sefer is not brought. Mishum Bakam Moshe Rishon, because people might think the first one is lacking, or Mishum Bracha Shein Tzricha, because of the unnecessary bracha the Kohen Gadol would make. So the one-eyed Martians listening to their high Martian, proudly doing a public reading by heart, wish they had chosen instead to go to the sacrificial burning, taking place on a different planet at the same time. Which reminds us, the Gemara here asks why anyone would think that there's anything wrong with watching both procedures of Kriyas HaTorah and the burning of the offerings, and answers that you might have thought that one might not leave one procedure in the middle in order to observe the second one based on Rishon LeKish's principle of Ein Mavir in all mitzvahs. We don't pass over the opportunity to perform mitzvahs, the mitzvah being here, Barov Amadras Melech. It's a mitzvah of, with a multitude of people, is the glory of the king. Therefore, the Tanna is coming to inform us that one would be permitted to do so. And Rashi explains that since those watching the mitzvah are not actually involved in its performance, leaving the area doesn't constitute a mavir in all mitzvahs. So the one-eyed Martians listening to their high Martian proudly doing a public reading by heart wish they had chosen instead to go to the sacrificial burning taking place on a different planet at the same time, where only one ram was offered. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva disagree about the order of the offerings, but agree that there was only one communal ram, since neither mentioned a second ram in their order of the Karbanis. So this is in accord with the Rebbe, as it was taught in the Brisa, Rebbe holds that there was one ram on Yom Kippur, the one mentioned by Yikra and the one mentioned in the Chumash and Pekudim. Rabbi Shimon says there are two communal rams, the one mentioned by Yikra and the other in Chumash and Pekudim. Rebbe holds that there's one, for it's written Echod, one ram. The Torah emphasizes one, even though the word ram alone would have indicated a single ram. Rabbi Shimon says that the meaning is Meyuchad Shebe'edro. It should be the choices of its flock. Rebbe learns it should be Meyuchad Shebe'edro from a different pasuk. Daf Ein Av. So the similar Daf Ein Av is a donkey going E-ah. So here goes. The two colleagues greeting each other in the street by donkey. Donkey, that must mean we're on Daf Ein Aleph, E-ah. The two colleagues greeting each other in the street by a donkey, which reminds us what the one who took the Sirul Azazel out would say to the Kohen Gadol when he met the Kohen Gadol the next day, and how he ascribed his shlichus to the Kohen Gadol when he met him in the street to give honor to him in public. So the two colleagues greeting each other in the street by a donkey were astonished when a slight and weak-looking Talmud Chacham picked the animal up with one hand, which reminds us Rabbi Berechia gives two pshatim in the pasuk in Mishlei that states, Aleichem Ishim Ekra, and to you men do I call. This refers to the Talmud Chachamim who appear similar to women in that they're not aggressive and physically weak, yet they perform feats of heroic strength like men, referring to overcoming their Yetzahora. The second pshat is Harod Silanasach Yain Al Gabi Hamizbeach Yemal Gronim Shel Talmud Chachamim Yain. One who desires to offer a wine libation upon the Mizbeach should fill the throats of Talmud Chachamim with wine, because the word Ishim suggests Isha, an offering on the Mizbeach. So the two colleagues greeting each other in the street by a donkey were astonished when a slight and weak-looking Talmud Chacham picked the animal up with one hand, as his muscles ripped through his garment, which was spun sixfold. Which reminds us, the Braisa taught how the Big Day Kahuna were woven. Items which the Torah says were made with sheish, linen, had the thread spun sixfold. This means that each thread of linen was composed of six strands spun into a single thread. Items described as machzar, twine, had their thread spun eightfold. The me'il, which was pure techelis wool, was made of 12-fold cords. Peroch is made of 24-fold cords. The chosh and the ephod were made of 28-fold cords. Dafayim Beis. So the simmer Dafayim Beis is a thick piece of cake. So here goes. The birthday boy dressed as a Kohen Gadol who got upset when his friends ripped his kashim and loosened his choshen served birthday cake. Birthday cake? That must be one Dafayim Beis. The birthday boy dressed as a Kohen Gadol who got upset when his friends ripped his kashim and loosened his choshen, which reminds us, Rechava said in the name of Yehuda, that one who tears one of the big dekahuna receives malchus. Similarly, Rebbe Elazar said one who loosens a choshen from its moorings on the ephod, or one who removes the poles of the arm, receives malchus. For it says in one pasuk, lo yizach, and the choshen shall not be detached from upon the ephod. And it says in another pasuk, lo yasuru, in the rings of the arm shall be the poles, they shall not depart from it. So, the birthday boy dressed as a Kohen Gadol, who got upset when his friends ripped his kashim and loosened his choshen, served birthday cake adorned with three crowns, which reminds us there are three crowns that adorn three kelim in the base of Migdash. Aaron married and took the crown of Mizbeach. David married and took the crown of the Shulchan. Shall Aaron adain munachu kol rotzulikach yabu v'yikach. But the crown of the Aaron is still at rest. Anyone who wishes to take it may come and take it. So the birthday boy dressed as a Kohen Gadol who got upset when his friends ripped his kashim and loosened his choshen, served birthday cake adorned with three crowns that tasted awful for those who misbehaved. Which reminds us, the pasuk v'zos haTorah asher sam Moshe, and this is the Torah that Moshe put some before, alludes to the following, Zacha natzal sam achaim, or Zacha natzal sam amisa. If one's deserving, the Torah becomes a drug, a sum of life to him, but if he's not deserving, becomes a drug of death to him. And we have the same idea contrasting the psukim kudi Hashem yishayim v'sam chaylev, and Imr Hashem Tzerufa, the word of Hashem smelts. Zachem is samachta or zachem tzerafta. If one's deserving, the Torah gladdens him, but if he's not deserving, it smelts him. All right, so that concludes the shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.